From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of August. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Naomi Bloom. We'll hear from the eastern and the western legs of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour with Oliver Sloop and Ted Seifert. And then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast from Don Day on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day settled at $4.75, down 3.25. The March at $4.20¾, 3.5 lower. November beans down 7.5 at $10.33¾. January at $10.53¼, 6¾ lower. Meal was up $7. The oil $1.59 lower. Soft red winter wheat in the December down 3¾. It finished at $5.21¼. Naomi Bloom from TotalFarmMarketing.com out of West Bend, Wisconsin now joins us. Hi, Naomi. Thanks for being with us. As you watch the marketplace, what are the things that have been on your mind that you want to remind farmers of as we make our way through the last third of the month of August?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few things to be balancing as we head into the end of August. Of course, we're trying to balance where the USDA has this large crop pegged for yield, along with what the Pro Farmer Crop Tour has been looking at, which shows some mixed results, but overall a decent crop in general. So traders are trying to balance the two types of yield information coming at us, along with the tendency for a harvest low to occur oftentimes in late August or early September. Keep in mind we have option expiration coming up this Friday for the September grain contracts and first notice date for September grain futures next week. So quite a few things to balance here, and the market, I feel, is reflective of that. Corn seems to be trading in a very modest trading range where the market has got some resistance at the 410 area on December corn and some short-term support at $4, while November beans have been trading between 1050 resistance and 1025 support. Market probably for a few more days just kind of hangs out in those trading patterns until we get a little bit more news on the final yield results and ultimately what that might mean for the balance sheets for the remainder of 2025.
I did see, I think, that Mexico bought some soybeans from the United States. Is that right?
Yes, 228,000 tons of beans sold to Mexico for new crop. A very, very welcomed sale helps us to stay on track for where the USDA thinks we should be. However, the big missing factor continues to be China. So China has been booking from South America, and the rumor mill says that their needs for the bulk of fall has been met, but they still need to get their needs met for the latter part of October and November. So we want to see them show up. If we can see China show up soon, that would definitely be supportive for the markets. And then the other thing to be watching for soybeans is we're starting to hear about white mold in the fields and sudden death. So that's something to just be in tune with. It's, of course, something that can happen every year. But the market might be a little bit more sensitive to that information, especially with as tight as the balance sheets are right now for new crop corn ending stocks at 290 million bushels. There's not a lot of room for any yield adjustments to the downside. And then, of course, like I said, we're watching and waiting for China to show up for the exports.
You've been watching, I'm sure, as well, the negotiations between Ukraine and Russia. Not quite negotiations yet, but what President Trump has been trying to build and the European Union has been working with, along with the president of Russia. Do you think that if it comes to fruition and into the war, will have an impact on the price of wheat and oil seeds?
Well, that is definitely a question that we're all wondering. And quite frankly, I don't know is the answer. But it would make me feel like between that or watching some of the interest rate news that's going to be coming up in the coming weeks and months, between those two factors, those might influence managed money traders. So we'll see if they bite on any of that news. But it has been a slow-going process, and it feels like trade at the moment is immune to anything until they actually see some proof in the pudding, so to speak.
What are you following in the livestock this week?
Well, this week we're keeping an eye on cash markets. Box beef values continue to be strong for live cattle prices. We do have a cattle on feed report coming up on Friday. Pre-report estimates just came out. On feed, the average estimate that they're looking for is 98.1. The placement number, a low number at 91.1 for the average estimate, and the marketed number at 94.1. So we'll see if we see some position squaring heading into that report on Friday. Of course, the market still keeping an eye on any news that might emerge further from Mexico with screwworm or getting that border open and trying to keep an eye on consumer demand. Right now, the consumer demand is there, but at what point will the consumer finally balk and walk away? And then we see that market shift over. So keep an eye on the cattle on feed report Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Naomi Bloom is with TotalFarmMarketing.com out of West Bend, Wisconsin. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Medium, public radio for the farming world, online on demand at WILLAG.org. Let's check in on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Oliver Sloop joins us again from Blue Line Futures. Thank you, Oliver, for being with us. I know yesterday and today both, probably, I think you were in Indiana, though maybe you started only in Illinois this morning. Let's begin with what you found in Indiana and what your outlook like.
Yeah, we did a lot in Indiana yesterday. That was our primary focus. As I'd mentioned, we did a half route, so the other half focused on Ohio. We jumped straight over to Indiana. This morning, we did do a few counties in Indiana. And I think, largely speaking, I think the underlying theme from yesterday was just underwhelming, especially relative to such lofty expectations. Crossing over the state border into Illinois today, which is where we've done a bulk of our sampling. Now that things have turned a little bit more positive. And I think today's takeaway so far is probably consistency. We're seeing a lot less variability, a lot less issues with regards to weather problems in Indiana. It really looked like a lot of fields could have used quite a bit more moisture and probably still could use quite a bit more moisture to round out these crops. So far from what we've seen in Illinois, that hasn't been the case. It looks pretty darn good, and the yields are a lot more consistent on the counties that we're in. We're actually in McLean County right now, which I've been really looking forward to since before we even got on the road, because it's one of the country's top producing counties. And so far, I mean, we've only done three or four samples here, but we're, you know, in the mid 250s on those yield checks. So it'll be interesting to see what other people find in this county and other counties around us. But I would say it's probably living up to expectations in Illinois so far.
I'm going to guess that your route ran steadily westward from Indianapolis, but mostly north of the interstate or of 74. Is that correct?
Yeah, just north and basically straight line west. So we've come across some good ground. We did get rained on a little bit this morning, but it wasn't anything too bad. It looks like it's kind of cleared up, and we've got a beautiful day and afternoon ahead of us. So hopefully be able to get some more good data points out there.
And did your yields and your pod counts get steadily higher the further west you have come? And then, of course, you say they've evened out, but at a really high level. Is that correct?
That's correct, especially once we started crossing the state line and working further west, things seem to be getting better and more consistent through our samples this morning, including Indiana's counties. I think we're averaging right around 222 bushels per acre. So pretty darn good, a lot different from what we saw yesterday. Again, yesterday was just, I think, a story of underwhelming findings across much of the state of Indiana. A different story today in Illinois.
I watched Chip Flory last night, actually this morning, for some of the news pieces that they sent to us. And he was asked an interesting question. I'd like to know your take as well. The question was he more impressed in South Dakota with the corn or the soybeans? He wanted to be more impressed with the corn, but the consistency wasn't quite there, and he was sorely impressed with the soybeans. How about your routes so far? What do you think?
Well, we've split it up, so I'm focusing mostly on corn, but having a conversation with the other riders in my car that do focus on the soybeans. As I've mentioned, it's similar to corn. The further west we go, the better things look, and I think a lot of that is just soil composition and just the nature of the beast. Illinois has really, really good ground, especially in this area, and then they've gotten good weather along the way to really keep things going on the right trajectory. So, very, very good. I would say the people that are counting the beans in our car are, very pleased with what they've seen. The numbers continue to get bigger and better, and again, more consistent, which seems to be the underlying theme for today.
Last night, as you were meeting there north of Indianapolis, what was the common theme from most of the other cars that you were talking to and the crop scouts that were running other routes?
Yeah, I think largely through Indiana, it was just underwhelming. I don't think that was isolated to just our route or vehicle. I think a lot of people were, set the expectations really high, and rightfully so. It was the first day of crop tour, and coming off of last week's USDA report, those expectations are set high. So maybe that was part of it, where you just put such a high watermark out there, and you think you're going to see great, perfect corn all day long. That wasn't the case. It wasn't bad corn, but it just fell short of expectations. I mean, with the USDA projecting Indiana at 205, you expected to come across some really good corn and more consistent corn. But again, variability was seen really throughout our route yesterday, and that seemed to be a theme for other routes as well.
It'll be interesting to see what the numbers tally up like tonight when you're in Bloomington and give that final number for the state of Indiana in that case.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to that. I wouldn't be surprised to see it come in a little bit lower. We saw the Ohio number come in a little bit over what Pro Farmer put out last year. But still, again, Ohio was well below what the USDA put out here recently. So, again, I think it's a story of underwhelming performance so far on the further east side of things. But again, as we move west, I kind of expect things to get a little bit better.
Oliver Sloop is with Blue Line Futures, joined us here on the Closing Market Report. Let's turn our attention to Ted Seifert. He is with Zahner Ag Hedge and traveling in South Dakota and then Nebraska on the western leg. Hi, thank you for being with us, Ted. We appreciate that.
Hey, Todd. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with yesterday in South Dakota. It sounds like that was a really good crop for that state. You've traveled there many times in the past, a veteran of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. How many times have you been out west for the tour, and what did this look like in comparison?
Yeah, so 7 times I've been out west. Out of 11, I've been on the tour 11 times overall. So I've done a little bit of both, but mainly on the west. And I got to say, the portion of South Dakota that the tour goes through saw some really good numbers yesterday for both corn and soybeans. Being South Dakota, and in a normal year, you see a lot of variability. There's just storm damage. You see a lot of different things, and you can see completely different results. Just even a couple miles apart. And I think what everybody was talking about, after South Dakota yesterday was kind of how uniform the crop is. And I think that is how you get to these bigger yield numbers. The other thing is, this time last year, the concern was, the soybean pod counts are one thing, but are they going to get the moisture to finish off, drier soils and things like that. But, this year, better soil conditions, better forecast for outlook for them. I think very likely those soybeans are gonna get what they need, or may have most of what they need already. And so, I think the outlook for South Dakota is really, very good. I think it may justify what the USDA is saying for South Dakota. Now, again, the tour doesn't go through all of South Dakota, but personally, what I've heard from clients in the areas that are part of the tour, such as like the northeast portion or the central, north central, or even north central west, not quite all the way west, not as much out there. But all the reports for South Dakota are really quite good. So, I think that is one of the really good spots of what we're going to see on the tour. We heard some different numbers coming out of Ohio yesterday. But yeah, South Dakota looks really pretty good.
USDA has South Dakota at 168 bushels to the acre. Yesterday's number released by Pro Farmer on the routes was 174.18, but there's a difference because that's the better part of the state of about 5.3 bushels to the acre. Generally, that actually puts it down at around 168 because you have to subtract rather than add that number. It's just you're running through a better side. So USDA and it appears Pro Farmer agree on that number, 168, a very good number for corn there. I'm told that what you probably ran through yesterday in Nebraska, if you did, and then again today, is really, really good. Can you tell me about what you've seen?
You know, yesterday, I did a lot of Nebraska yesterday, and yesterday was really very good. I was kind of surprised that the first day in Nebraska is kind of the side of Nebraska that you don't see as much irrigated and you worry that, you know, this is kind of a rougher spot. They deal with a lot of weather and oftentimes dryness. But it was really good. And it was kind of a continuation from what South Dakota was, meaning, you know, you had cornfields that were kind of at different stages or different lengths as far as how far they need to get to the finish line, or, you know, maybe they're like 10 days apart, but you had a lot of uniformity in the ear size, the number around, the ear counts. It was just a very even and a very good looking crop. And that was kind of whether it was irrigated or dry land. The only difference there would be, you know, ear counts or how high of a population they were pushing. But it was a really good looking crop. Now, I don't know what's going on the rest of the routes here on day two of Nebraska, but for our route and stops today, and keep in mind, my car, we ran the same routes last year and with Sherman Newman and Karen Braun, and we're kind of disappointed with what we're seeing compared to last year and compared to expectations. Compared to last year, our average corn yield through nine stops is actually down 3% at just over 200 bushel an acre. But our soybean number is the one that's really off, down 23% from the same stops in the same counties last year. And that was kind of unexpected. And that's mostly irrigated as well. So, you know, pod counts aren't the be-all, end-all of soybean yield, but obviously the higher pod count you have, the higher potential you have. So just pod count alone, you can't say that the yield is sharply lower because I think that there's a potential to fill these pods out better than last year. But, you know, for that pod count number to be down as much was a bit of a surprise. Now, again, we're one of 15 cars out here today. Could be a different story in different cars. We have one of the most northern routes on this day, too. So I can just speak for what we've seen personally. You know, a bit of a surprise, bit of a disappointment here today.
Chip Flory, in his morning comments actually recorded last night, was talking about how good Nebraska he saw yesterday happened to be, and that he was worried that south of the Platte River might be an entirely different subject area. I don't know what your route is traveling like. Are you north or south of the Platte at this time?
So right now we're south, but not by very much. And again, we're one of the more northern routes. We just left Davis City, Nebraska. And by the way, we've seen a whole range of soil conditions, right? I mean, getting out of Grand Island, it was pretty dry. But just here recently, we've been seeing standing water. The last cornfield I was in, I was, you know, up to my ankles in mud. So, you know, it's very varying conditions that we're seeing here today.
Thank you much. I appreciate it. Good luck. And tell Karen and Sherman hello from us here at WILL. We appreciate it.
Absolutely will do. Todd, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Ted Seifert is with Zahner Ag Hedge and traveling on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. You can stay up to speed with the tour on our website. Check it out at WILLAG.org. We have some historical numbers from each state. And of course, we're posting the updated Pro Farmer Tour route numbers into the website as well. It's all at WILLAG.org. www.indianaprimary.org. Let's check the weather forecast now. Don Day is here. He's with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don. Thanks for being with us. What's the weather like out west today?
Well, we are looking at what I'd call a very typical August weather pattern across the lower 48 with some areas of heat, some areas of thunderstorm activity. We've got tropical activity off the coast with Hurricane Aaron. All of these things, what you'd expect in the middle of the month.
All right, so let's begin, work our way from west to east. In the northwestern part of the United States, in the upper Great Lakes, they've gotten quite a bit of rainfall. Can you kind of recap that for me and tell me what that area might look like over the next week?
Well, over the next week, and you're right, that northwest part of the Corn Belt, parts of the Northern Plains, it's just been a lot of thunderstorm activity day and night up there, going all the way back to early July. There is a bit of a change, though, coming. We're going to see something that might be a couple of weeks ahead of schedule, but we're seeing a large trough that will move across central Canada late this week and especially this weekend into early next week. Cooler and also drier air is going to come in. And what this will do is this will turn off the shower and thunderstorm activity for the most part as we go into that part of the country, then spreading south and east across the Great Lakes, then across the rest of the Corn Belt. It's going to be fallish. This is a fall-like front coming in, not only with those cooler temperatures that we're expecting, but lower humidity as well.
Yeah, so we see some of that tomorrow, Thursday, Friday for sure. And then early next week, it gets even cooler. And does this stick around for very long?
It does. I mean, I could see a 7 to 10-day period of temperatures a bit below the 30-year average for most of the nation east of the Rockies. It is a little bit of hint of fall coming our way. And when they happen during the second half of August, a lot of times we'll warm back up and have some more summer weather coming our way. We certainly see that the week after this. But this will be a rather long-standing period of what I would call very pleasant weather for late August for a lot of the nation.
And it's dry throughout that period as well?
Mostly dry, yeah. There's going to be a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity. But we're actually going to see the best rain chances in areas they desperately need it. And that's areas west of the Divide, into the Great Basin, the desert southwest, parts of the western slopes of the Rockies that are very dry and dealing with wildfires. They're going to have the better chance of rain.
Will Hurricane Aaron supply any moisture to Ohio, parts of Indiana? They're in need.
No, it's curving back into the north central Atlantic. And once it does that, it's going to dissipate and hit some colder water. There's going to be more tropical activity, though, behind it. We see two more waves coming off the coast of Africa heading westbound. So Aaron is going to be followed by some other hurricane activity here in the weeks ahead, and perhaps one of those could work their way into the Gulf or parts of the southeastern United States and maybe hit that eastern Corn Belt. But it's not going to happen, at least here over the next week.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Media.